Dan is prophetic in his gifting, has a great sense of humour, and hates Vegemite. His life's message is to encourage people to find their identity in Christ. He has authored a book on this subject called The Power of a New Identity. And I give you Dan Snead.
Where did you get all that information? I mean, that's like somebody researched to know what this was in 2006 and that there's the thousand oak trees and, yeah, wow. It's really good to be here. And this is kind of interesting. If there was some nice soft music in the background, it would really set the atmosphere for this. I've never been to a men's meeting before by candlelight. So I just texted my wife and I told her, I said, where I'm at men's meeting and it's by candlelight, and I haven't got a response yet, but I'm kind of wondering, what is she going to say when she texts back? But I was just in the men's room when I came out holding that candle. The big sign on the door says, please switch off the light. And so, but anyway, it's really good to be back. And how you guys been? It's been a year, hasn't it, Paul? That's what I thought. They only will allow me to come once a year. They can't handle more than that. So, how have you guys, everybody been doing well? Thank you. Somebody did something.
It's too long a story.
Yeah, I don't want the whole story. I just wanted to know how you're doing. Anyway, last time we did the same thing, the curry night, and so this was really great again, really, really fun. So I want to introduce my friend to you, Edmund. Edmund, I've known Edmund since, gosh, it's been 20 years?
About 20 years, yeah.
And he was my preschool teacher. I was waiting for you to get that. And Edmund's from Singapore, and that's where we met about 20 years ago, and God has really connected our lives in so many ways, and he's traveling with me on this trip, and I won't say any more about him than that. He can fill you in a little bit, but I wanted him to share a little bit tonight that will kind of go down the same line of what I want to share with you for a little while. So, Edmund Wong from Singapore. And we need some bright lights on the stage.
Yep. Hi.
Now, I've told him good things about you. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm from Singapore originally, but I actually came to England when I was 13. And I did my O-levels and A-levels here, and I ended up doing my university here too. And I started my career in banking, and then I got saved. Even though I've been going to church all my life, I only got saved in my mid-20s. And then I felt God's call in my life, and I joined Youth of Mission in 1999, and I spent 2 years working with them. But during those 2 years, I really felt God call me to come out and do something totally different. And during that time when I was going through the transition, I really felt a little bit lost and a bit frustrated because I really loved being in mission work. And when I started communicating to my leaders about coming out again, they were very upset with me. So I had a real big struggle in me, but I wanted to share with you this verse that God gave me and really has become one of the foundational principles in my life now. So, if you guys have your Bibles, it's in John chapter 17.
Do you think they can see it? If they have it. Unless it's an electronic Bible.
Well, anyways, I'll read it out to you. This is, just to give you a background, this is very close to the end of Jesus' life. And here, he's praying, and he's saying a few words. But the verse that really stood out to me the most is when, in verse 4, John 17, verse 4, it says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, the glory which I had with you before the earth was. And here, when I was reading this verse, I was so inspired because I looked at it and I said, wow, Jesus said he has finished the work which God has given him. And I was thinking about, do I really know what my job is? Do I know what the kind of work that God has given me? Jesus knew. Jesus knew what God had called him to do, and he knew when he finished it. And the amazing thing is in verse 4, it says, I have glorified you on earth. So it is only in finishing that we really do glorify God. You know, and I've looked at my own life, and I examined it, and I realized that, yes, I always start really well, but I don't necessarily finish well. And it is really in the finishing that you really glorify God, you know. And so even though I was going through a struggle with this transition, I stuck it out, and I felt that God was really teaching me a principle I need to take on for the rest of my life. And even today, whenever I start something, I always think I want to finish well. That's a principle I really need to hold on to. But through the years, you know, it gets harder, and the work, the assignment gets bigger, and I was trying to find out, how do you hold on? How do you not give up? And then God gave me a verse that I also want to share with you today, and it's in Hebrews chapter 12. And I will end with this, so I want to give Dan more time to speak, but these are the two verses I want to share with you today, and these are the two principles I hold on to a lot whenever I walk with God these days. So in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, I'm reading from the Amplified because I feel like it really, really holds, and it gives the meaning of these verses really well. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, that sin which is so really, really cleverly clings to us and entangles us. And let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. So here the verse is talking about this race, this life that I have, this race that's my life. And it really says, let's really have patient endurance and run this race through and to finish this race. But how do you do it? How do you actually have the endurance and the stamina to really finish this race that God has for you? And the clue is in verse 2 and 3. And it says, Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, it says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, and is also its finisher, brings it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against him, so that you may not go weary and exhausted, lose heart, and relax and faint in your minds. So it says, he did this so that you will not go weary. He did all these things so that you will not go weary, and you will not lose heart, and you will not faint. So the key, the secret I've gone from this verse is that look at Jesus. Looking at him will make you not go weary. Looking at him will give you the endurance and the stamina to finish the race.
There's a scripture in third chapter of Philippians that ties in with what Edmund was just sharing. And I don't know about you, but setting goals in my life has never been an easy thing to do. I'll set them. It's like a New Year's resolution. And, you know, give me a couple of days and I will have violated the New Year's resolution. And goals can often be that way. But I found in that passage in Philippians 3, a little bit about the heart of the Apostle Paul and what his goals were and what the important things for him. And what I find interesting about Philippians is this is written from a prison cell when he was just not long before he was to die. And so this comes at the end of Paul's life. And so its timing is interesting because even towards the end of his life, he is thinking about the goal. He is thinking about what he wants his life to be all about. And so it's like finishing well. You can see this man who has given his life to follow Jesus. Now he's at a point when it's not long before it's over, but there's still this passion in him. He wants to finish well. And the two things that he says in that passage is, one of them is a verse that I'm sure that you've heard over and over and over again, is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So Paul's saying the passion of my life, the goal of my life above everything else, is I want to know Jesus. Now, think again about the fact that this is at the end of his life. You know, I could, if this was right after the Damascus Road story, I could understand Paul saying, I really want to get to know Jesus. But this is after Paul has had revelation, that in fact the scripture says that he's had revelation that was so powerful that God wouldn't let him even talk about it. He knew Jesus. His relationship with Jesus was stronger than anyone else around. He's the apostle. He's the one that God used to write scripture. He's the one that God used to establish churches. Next to Jesus, he is the most influential man in the New Testament. And now that he's coming down to the end of his life, he's still saying, I want to know him. That's the passion of his heart. You almost want to say, Paul, if you don't know him, whoever could? But there's this thing inside of him that is always wanting more, always wanting to know Jesus more. The word, when it says to know, doesn't mean just more knowledge. It's not about, let me study the Bible a little bit more, though that's always a good thing to do. It's not about, I want to learn more facts about Jesus. It's really, I want to know him in a deep, intimate, personal way. And again, you look at Paul and you say, Paul, you've had these revelations that come out of your intimate relationship with Jesus, and you're still wanting, what am I doing here? And you're still wanting to know him in an even deeper way. I want to be that kind of man. I pray that there's not a day of my life that I don't want to grow deeper in my relationship with him and deeper in knowing him. That was the passion of his heart. I want to know him. I want to know him. And if I could inspire you to do anything, it would be, I would want to kindle in you that same passion to know Jesus. I look around and see you young guys, and I think you've got all this time ahead. And I want so much to put in you a passion to know Jesus, to know him in a deep, full way. So Paul's passion, number one, is to know Jesus. That's the goal of his life. Even at the end of his life, he's still wanting to know more. The second thing that's in there is a little further down. I would read it, but I don't think it's worth trying to see it right now, and because I don't think I could. But a little further down, that same, like a verse or two down, it says that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So here you've got Paul saying, I want to know him. That's the goal of my life. That's the passion of my life. And then right under that, he's saying, I want to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. What that says to me is I want to be everything that God intends me to be. Now, again, in my mind, it's like, wait a minute, Paul. I mean, you're the great apostle. You're the guy that has really organized and inspired the church. I mean, you've done it all. I mean, different parts of the world that he's traveled and related to churches all over that part of the world. You've done it all. And you're still saying, I want to make sure that I have become everything that God wants me to become. And there's a sense in which we should, you know, never be satisfied with where we are right now. Never satisfied that we know him deeply enough, that there's not more. See, one of the things I often find that with people, and I find it myself, is it's very easy to get to a place where you're kind of satisfied. and you think, you know, I've grown in my spiritual life, and I know him in this way, and I know him well, and so there's, you know, that kind of thing, and we just kind of begin to stagnate there, because we, you know, we think we know him as deeply as we should. There's also that area where I begin to, I've done all these things, I'm good at this, and this is what God's blessed in my life. I have a pretty good understanding of who God's made me to be, and I stop there. And I fail to realize that there's still more. The older I get, the more I discover about myself. The older I mean, and I discover things that I would have never thought. I would never have thought we're in there. I mean, sometimes it's things that aren't quite so good that I need to deal with. But so I'm always kind of discovering some of that. But also discovering a lot of areas of gifting, a lot of stuff that God has put in me that I really never realized was there. I never really did anything with it. And so that's, I want that same passion that Paul had to become everything that God intended me to be. And so to me, it's so important that we finish well. And finishing well is, I think, exactly what Paul said. It's a constant passion to know him more, and a constant passion to be everything that God intended us to be. And I want to finish well. Edmund was talking about, really about finishing well. I look back over my life, and I think of all the people that I've known over the years, people who started really well, but they didn't finish well. And I know that life, you know, I know there's a lot of things that happen. Life has a way of beating a lot of things out of you. And life has a way of just, you know, taking things to the point that your life can just go crazy at times. But one of the things that's deep inside me is I want to finish well. I don't want to have started this and then, you know, messed up so much that I don't finish well. And when I say that, there's not this sense of I've got to be careful of everything I do. It really is a sense of finishing well. Really is I want to know him more. I want to know him. Is that the passion of your life? If I could put anything in you tonight, that would be it. I want to know Jesus more, and I want to become everything that he has called me to be. I want to develop all the gifting. I want to develop the stuff that God has put in me. I want to be everything that God intends me to be. And I think those are the keys to finishing well. There's something about having those kind of goals that keep me moving and keep me, you know, when I mess up, there's things I need to deal with, but there's still this thing that I want to, you know, I keep moving because I want to finish well. I want to finish well. And I pray that's deep inside each one of you. And I know from just my own life experience that as I grow closer to him, I discover more and more about myself. And as I discover more and more about myself, I see God's work in my life. I wouldn't take time to tell the story right now, but I grew up with an incredibly strong inferiority complex. I really didn't think I was worth much of anything. I mean, I didn't think, you know, I didn't think I had anything to offer, and that came out of some of the experiences of my life. We've all had life experiences, and often those things lock us up deep inside. And out of a lot of life experiences, I developed this very, very deep inferiority complex. And I think in a lot of the early years of my life, I was scared to death of myself. I had no sense of any worth or value. And with that, there was no sense in understanding who I was. And it was like survive, get through today, move on to the next thing. I never had a grip on the stuff that God had put in me. But more and more, as the Lord has healed that, what I discover is I'm always learning, always growing in understanding who He's made me to be, what He's put in my heart. And I you know, mentioned a little while ago about teaching identity. That's a huge thing for me because I've been there. I know what that's all about. See, Paul wanted to know Jesus, and he wanted to become everything God made him to be. Don't give up on your on growing in your relationship with the Lord, and don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. I meet people all the time who have had major failing in their life, and I understand that. I think most of us do. We've all failed. The problem can be that we get stuck there and that we fail and that we kind of just, we stop at that point. And then we begin to develop this picture of ourselves as failures. And we may cover it. We may try to hide it. But deep inside, there's this picture of a failure. And that begins to define our life. And don't let failure define you. You know, that's part of your story. Like, part of my story is all that I went through, the deep inferiority complex, all of the self-hatred, and all of that stuff. That's part of my story. I was so afraid of life that I couldn't hold a conversation with an individual. I couldn't do it. When I was 17, 18, 19 years old, I saw no reason in this world to be alive. And I couldn't hold a conversation. I was that locked up. And I felt in every way like a total failure. But see, the thing that I've learned is I could let that, and did let that for a lot of years, define my life. That defined me. You're broken. You're a failure. You can't communicate. Nobody wants to be with you because you're just a total bore. You failed. And that was how I saw myself. And then I locked up there, and that's how I saw me. And that defined my life. That's part of my story. It always will be. And I'm grateful for it now because I can tell that story. But it's not all the story. See, regardless of where you've been and what you've experienced, that's your story, but it's not all your story. It's not, don't let the failures of your life define you. See, we're so good at defining ourselves that way. And we often do it to each other, where we define each other by, you know, we categorize and we define each other by these failures and these things. But that isn't how God defines us. Don't let failure define you. Let Jesus define you. And His definition of you is far beyond anything that you can possibly imagine for yourself. Let Him begin to define who you are. And, you know, the passion that I would really want to stir up inside of you is passion to know Jesus and passion to discover all that God has made you to be. And I think that is the key to finishing well. And it's a lifelong passion that just doesn't stop. It just keeps growing and keeps growing. So if there's anything I would want to communicate to you tonight, it would be that. That passion to know Jesus and passion to become everything that God made you to be. I look around this room and I think there's some amazing people sitting here with such incredible gifts. Some of us know the gifts are there. Some of us have no idea. Some of us have not discovered really who we are. Some of us have begun to discover who we are. But let me really encourage you. Let Jesus show you the man that He's made you to be. And then give yourself to becoming everything that He's made you to be. There's more to you than what you see right now. There's more. You know, do you ever see the movie The Lion King? Anybody ever see that movie? There's a scene, and I don't know if I can remember it correctly right now, but there's the scene. I think there's something prophetic about that movie. There's several things in that movie that I think has tremendous. It's like hearing a word from the Lord. And there's a there's a scene there where Simba, the young lion, his father has died, and he's now to be king. And he doesn't want to be king because he doesn't think he has what it takes. He doesn't think he could do that. And it's not a humility that says, I don't have the capability, and I really want to be humble about that. But it's a paralyzing thing that causes him to run away. I can't be that. I don't want to be that. And he runs away. And then there's this scene where he comes in desperation. He's exhausted from running. And he lays down by a pool of water. And he looks in the pool of water. And then he sees the reflection of his father in that pool of water. And he hears his father's voice. And his father says to him, "You're more than you have become." To me, those words are so incredibly powerful. You're more than you have become. And I want you to hear those words tonight. Some of you really need to hear, you're more than you have become. And that was a turning point in Simba's life, when he realized that there was more. There was more. And I want you to see that you're more than you have become. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. There's this quest in him that wants to get a hold of all that God has, because he has a sense that there's more. There's more. And, don't just be content to be a group of men, that are involved in church life and have men's breakfast once in a while and a curry night and wonderful fellowship together. This is fantastic. It's wonderful. But there's more to you than that. Don't be content just to show up on Sunday to hear another sermon and shake another hand. But what does God have for you? What does God want to do with your life? What has he put in you? And I'm not saying by saying that you need to go out and be a preacher. That's not what I mean. I don't know where we ever got the idea that if you're really following God, you're going to go into some kind of, preaching ministry stuff. Crazy. God has put all kinds of things in you. What's in there? What's in there? What I want to lay hold of that for which he laid hold of me. You're more than you've become. And let God begin to show you all that you are, and then press in to become everything that God made you to be. And I guarantee you that you'll have the help of the Holy Spirit to do it, and becoming more and more of who he made you to be. But it begins with, the first goal is, I want to know him. I want to know him. And then I want to become everything that God made me to be. I think that's really a full life. I think that really is what's behind finishing well. As long as I keep my eyes on becoming like Jesus and I to know him and on becoming everything he wants me to be, you'll finish well. It's when you get sidetracked from all of that. So that's really what tonight in my mind was all about, is finishing well, but finishing well because you have a passion for Jesus and a passion to become everything that God made you to be. Let's stop and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this group of men tonight. Thank you for this time that we've been together. And I got to know some of the men sitting in this room, and others I don't really know. I recognize faces, but I don't really know them. But Lord, I want so much to put passion in them to know you more. What would happen if this men's group would be compassionate about knowing Jesus, and then passionate about laying hold of that for which they were laid hold of? You had a dream for Paul. You have a dream for us. You've put everything in our lives to fulfill that dream. It's there. You've put it there. Lord, let us begin to discover more and more what that is. Lord, I don't want to come to the end of my life with a feeling that I really never discovered all that you had made me to be. I don't want that to happen. I want to be everything that you made me to be. And so, Lord, I just ask that you will put that same passion in each one of us, this incredible desire to know you and to become everything that we can be. And Lord, you know the things that would keep us from that. Sometimes it's just the cares of life. It's just the busy schedules. Sometimes it's areas of failure, things that we've done that we feel guilty about, and it just keeps haunting us. Lord, will you begin to put your finger on those things that keep us from passion for you and passion to become everything that you want us to be? Lord, will you do that? Even tonight, Lord, begin to put your finger on those things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to give you a minute just to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And what is your heart in knowing him? What is your heart in becoming everything that God made you to be? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I confess that it's so easy for me to get caught up in busyness, where even if I'm not doing something at the moment, my mind is busy. And I fail to press in to know you. And even though I've been involved in ministry for years, that doesn't guarantee the depth of knowing you. And I get caught so easily in all the stuff. And when you really, more than anything, just want me to be with you. I remember you saying about the disciples that you had chosen them and called them to be with you, and then you sent them out. And that be with you part is so important. And Lord, I want to be with you more. That's how I get to know you more. So forgive me for my busyness and my routines that keep me from pressing in like I should. Lord, I want to pray again that you will stir up passion in our hearts for you. Passion just a hunger, something deep inside that wants you more than anything. I'm not giving people something more to do. We've all got more than enough to do. But this is a heart thing. When our hearts are stirred and we're hungry, things begin to happen. And Lord, will you stir that in us? Passion for you, and then passion to lay hold of what you have for us. Passion to become all that you called us to be, that you created us for, to fulfill the dream that's on your heart for our lives. Lord, will you stir that up inside of us in Jesus' name? Lord, let there come a fresh sense of that in our lives, in each one of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was with this last few days. I've been with a group of pastors, all senior pastors. And last night, I had this really strong thing. It's been stirring in me for a while. I've been involved in England for 25 years. And I love it. This is my favorite city in the world, is London. And so I love coming here. I always, in going into Europe, will transit through Heathrow. I love Heathrow. And that has to be a God thing. But just because I love coming through here, I'll work it out that way. But I really had come to a place where I was really beginning to think the strong connections I've had with Britain are pretty well over. And because there's a lot of other things I'm out there involved in, and it never was a lack of loving England, but it was a lack of, it's just not quite there anymore. And in me, and I'm not, you know, But I found in the last number of months God rekindling something. And to the point that, I mean, it just, there's a burning thing for this nation inside me. And I really was the last thing in the world I would have ever expected. And then last night, it kind of culminated in something I really believe the Lord showed me about what He wants to do in this nation. That God's not done with England yet. That even though at times things may seem like they're getting colder and drifting away and all of that, the church may seem like it's becoming less influential and all of that, but that's not how God sees it. And that's not what God's up to. There's something stirring that I believe is far more powerful than you realize. And tonight it sparked again in my head with you guys praying. I mean, do you guys realize all you old guys weren't praying as much as these kids were? There's something stirring over here. And God loves the old guys too. Because I'm one of them, you know. But I think God's doing something, and much of it will begin to stir in the youth of the nation. And that, and you look at it, you might think that's the furthest thing. But that when God begins to do something, things turn around pretty quickly. Things begin to happen. And I felt like the Lord really said some things to me recently about recommitting my commitment to Britain. And I instead of it dissipating, I think it's accelerating. And so I'm not sure all that that means yet, but I really believe God's doing something. It's kind of undercurrent right now, but watch and see. Something's going to begin to break forth. I think it's already beginning to happen, but it's going to happen much stronger than you realize. And again, that comes back to God, stir that passion up in us for you. God, stir that passion to become everything that you made us to be. Stir that up in us, Lord. I don't want to miss what you're doing today. I don't want to miss what you're doing in this generation. I want to be right in the middle of it. So stir up our hearts. Stir up our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done. That may be one of the